From Interfaith Alliance, this is State of Belief Radio. I'm Alliance President Emeritus Rabbi Jack Moline in Washington, filling in this week for your host, Reverend Welton Gaddy.
Police say the shooting began around 10:30 Sunday morning as many inside the Sikh temple were gathering for worship. Witnesses said the first shots came outside, killing two inside mayhem as horrified members of the temple hid in closets, sheltering children from a spray of bullets.
This weekend, Sikhs across the country are marking the solemn 10-year anniversary of the Oak Creek Gurdwara massacre on August 5th, 2012. It's important to pause and look at the ways things have changed for the better, and also for the worse, in the intervening decade, and how the teachings of this faith informed the inspiring response of the community to this terrible tragedy. On this week's show, you'll hear from Kieran Gill, Executive Director of the Sikh American Legal Defense and Education Fund.
America was founded based on Christianity. Our DNA is Christian. Our roots are Christian. We aren't Muslim. We aren't atheist. I think America is best off when we have Christians, good, solid, loving Christians in power.
The language of religious freedom has long been captive to the political religious right, twisted to create a right to discriminate for the majority instead of the intended protection for the rights of minority beliefs. It's important to do more than just condemn that unconscionable trend. There's an urgent need to describe and model true religious freedom for all. Dr. Sabrina Dent will be doing just that on Tuesday with a talk entitled Humanizing Religious Freedom. She'll be here later in the hour for a preview.
It's a melding of Christian nationalism, of traditionalist values, and of these sort of authoritarian ideas of who can be in a group and who can't be in a group, based on their gender identification, based on sexuality, based on their social moral leanings.
As if the relentless spread of Christian nationalism among white evangelicals in this country weren't bad enough, now we're seeing those dangerous beliefs popping up in other denominations as well. This week, we'll take a look at this phenomenon through the eyes of scholar Sarah Riccardi Swartz. Her Religion Dispatches article is headlined, "Orthodox Church's Authoritarian Anti-LGBT Statement Poses Serious Threat to Academic Freedom."
I'm Ray Kirstein at the intersection of religion, government, and unintended consequences. Even lobbyists admitted shock at the outcome of the Kansas reproductive rights referendum, the first chance voters have had to address abortion since SCOTUS reversed Roe. Nearly 60% of Kansans opted to block state legislature power to restrict the procedure further, which analysts say could portend similar outcomes in other states come November. In Georgia, however, the State Department of Revenue now says residents can claim an embryo as a dependent for tax purposes. A fetal heartbeat is enough to qualify for a $3,000 exemption. That's possible as early as 6 weeks into gestation. And I noticed this week that Gab, the leading far-right alternative to Twitter, which has claimed to offer users absolute free speech rights because supposedly big tech relentlessly promotes a leftist agenda and silences real Americans, blah, 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 has not only become the predictable home of endless QAnon, MAGA, and white nationalist rhetoric, it is now officially and proudly claiming a Christian supremacist stance. This is a direct quote from the website. "Our mission is to pioneer the parallel economy and to empower people around the world to become digitally and physically sovereign over their lives for the glory of God." The founder has also overtly declared he wants the conservative movement to be, quote, exclusively Christian. Free speech indeed.
Our program airs every weekend on radio stations nationwide and is available as a podcast on iTunes and other leading podcast platforms. I urge you to subscribe to it today. State of Belief Radio is made possible in great part by the generous support of our listeners. If you've made a donation this week, please let me say a very sincere thank you. If you haven't pitched in yet, information on how you can help keep this show on the air is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. And now to our first guest. On August 5th, 2012, a lone gunman entered the Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, and murdered six members. It was the bloodiest race-based attack in the country since 1963. What happened next speaks volumes about the Sikh faith, as well as the character of the surviving members of that community. With the 10-year anniversary of that terrible day just behind us, We're fortunate to have with us Kiran Kaur Gill, Executive Director of the Sikh American Legal Defense and Education Fund, SALDEF, who is in Oak Creek for the solemn observance of this milestone. Kiran, thank you so much for being here with us today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Could we start by remembering the names of the victims of that act of terror 10 years ago?
Yes, absolutely. The names of the victims are Paramjit Kaur, Satwant Singh Kaleka, Prakash Singh, Sita Singh, Ranjit Singh, Saveg Singh, and Punjab Singh.
Thank you. May their memories be for a blessing. Would you talk about what that day was like for you and the community where you were 10 years ago?
So I was actually at a Gurdwara or Sikh temple function that day in New Jersey. I was active with my community Sangat. It was actually a Gurdwara picnic. I think there was just shock. Sikhs have unfortunately been targeted in this country, you know, post 9/11 because of the way we look, and we often call it backlash, but what is unfortunately continued today. I don't think it ever really sunk in that there was a possibility that in one of our most sacred spaces where we feel safe, where we come to congregate, where we come to pray, that space could be violated. And I think as a community, we really grappled with it. In the Sikh faith, the Gurdwara is open to anyone and everyone from all backgrounds, all faiths. You can come in to the Gurdwara. There's free meals served. You will be welcomed. Even the gunman, I think, you know, must have known, certainly was able to enter into the Sikh temple of Wisconsin and cause the violence and the tragic outcomes that he did.
Most of the communities in this country who have suffered these horrible attacks have thrown up the defenses immediately. But the Sikh community in Oak Creek rose up almost immediately in solidarity and even service. What do we need to know about the weeks and the months after that awful attack?
One of the central tenets of the Sikh faith is a belief in the connection and oneness of all of us in our common humanity. And I think one of the ways that we deal with tragedy is we come together in community and work to move forward, work to ensure that these types of tragic events do not happen again in our community or any other communities. And it's that process of healing that I think is part of the reason you see the response in the way that you do. Fundamental to the Sikh faith is that there's a divine light in all of us. And even the shooter, I was on a call yesterday with Valerie Kaur, who was there at the time of the attacks, helping the community in the aftermath. And one of the things she noted was that very next week when they had the prayers in the Sikh temple, we do an Ardas where we pray for the community and others. And there was prayers said for, you know, the fallen, the victims of this tragedy, but there was also a prayer said for the gunman, because we do believe that despite his actions and actions of those that wish us harm, that there is a light and there is, everyone has a choice to develop the best in them, which is God, which is that divine light.
And that light is not something that is extinguished by a single act, however awful.
No, it's not extinguished by a single act, however awful. We believe that, again, everyone has that divine light in them, and it's your choice whether you choose to develop that and develop that connection and develop that understanding of the oneness of humanity. And the other aspect that you mentioned is service, and that's a central tenet of our faith and another way that we choose to practice and heal in coming together in community. I think, you know, it's really interesting as we've SALDEF and I've been part of the commemoration events. It's so, almost profound in a way taken for granted what we're working for and towards. And I had to almost take a step back in the last couple of days as we're approaching this Friday, where we're going to have the event, the remembrance event, and the candlelight vigil, that what it is the world we're trying to build, a world where everybody is treated with dignity and respect, regardless of your background, regardless of your faith. We are working towards an inclusive society. We're working towards a society, again, where everybody is respected, and it's about connection and love. And sometimes, I know that there's different views out there across different spectrums, but that to me is so central to our faith, and working with others and respecting others and their beliefs and uniting with others is something that I think just comes so naturally. And that's why the messaging around this remembrance event is actually Heal, Unite, Act. And I think that's very telling of how the community feels and how the Sikh community responds to these types of tragedies.
We need to take a quick break, but I'll talk more with Kiran Gill in just a minute. Later, humanizing religious freedom with Sabrina Dent, and a look at how Christian nationalism is spreading beyond white evangelicals to infect other religious traditions in this country. You're listening to State of Belief Radio, brought to you by Interfaith Alliance.